Okay, Kedushas Levi for Pesach, part 3. Lamartam Zevach Pesach Hu LaHashem, Asher Pasach Al Batei B'nei Yisrael, B'nagpo Es Mitzrayim V'Esbatenu Hitzo. It's the Pasach which the Yom Tov of Pesach gets its name from. Even though Pesach in the Torah, Lamartam Zevach Pesach Hu LaHashem. Pesach in the Torah is always a reference to the Karban Pesach. That's the Berdish of Torah in Parshas Bo. Why do we call it Pesach if the Torah calls the Yom Tov Chag HaMatzos? So we explained many times, one of the most beautiful Torahs, the Berdish of says, that we call it Pesach because we're highlighting what God did for us. Hashem passed over our homes. And Hashem in the Torah calls it Chag HaMatzos. It's what we did for Him. That we left Mitzrayim with barely any food, and what Mesiras Nefesh, Lechtech, Achar, Midbar, Beretz, Lo Zeruah, Zachardi, Lechesenu, Rayach. What an amazing thing you did. So Pesach in the Torah, as you see in this Pasuk, V'amartim Zevach Pesach U'Lashem. But again, it's rooted on Asher Pasach Al-Batei B'nei Yisrael. That Hashem passed over our homes. I can't not mention, Rav Moshe Leib Sassover once came to visit Rav Eli Melech of Lezhensk. And the Rebbe Rav Melech said to him, Nu, say Yishtikl Torah. So Moshe Leib Sassover said, when the Pasuk says that Hashem was Pasach Al-Pesach, Pasach al-Batei b'nei Yisrael, as it says in this Pasuk, he says, Pasach, right, doesn't only mean that Hashem passed over, it means to skip over. So you could say that Hashem skipped over the Jewish homes, or you could say that Hashem was skipping over the Jewish homes. So Moshe Leib Sasser said to Rav Melech Lezhensk, when Hashem came to and he saw a Jewish house, Hashem was so excited, Hashem started dancing over the homes. He was skipping, right, over the homes. Over his excitement when he said, this is a Jewish, Yiddish home. It's a not Jewish home. Kill the firstborn. But this is a Jewish home. I said this past Shabbos in the Drasha, that's the pshat, why Hashem Dafka by Makos Bechoros emphasized, stay in your house. Why stay in your house? What's this emphasis, stay in your house? It's not just because it's dangerous in the streets. Hashem says, when I see the inyan of a Jewish house, it gives me tremendous nachas, which is one of the beautiful things about Pesach. A person turns to one's home and the bias is prepared a certain way, and everyone comes to the table together, and it's a night of sharing ideas together. So there's a uniqueness that Hashem sees a Jewish home. Okay, but what's being highlighted here in the pasuk is that Hashem spared us. B'nagpo es Mitzrayim b'spatenu hitzil. Hashem afflicted the Egyptians. He struck down the Egyptians, and our homes were saved. Again, it doesn't say our people were saved. Our homes were saved. A Jewish home. Yadua, it's known from the Yerushalmi and Sanhedrin. Ki ikir yitzias Mitzrayim haya al yedei Hashem yisbarach barachu mamish. We emphasize in Haggadah as well. Ani v'lo malach. Yishalmi emphasizes that the primary salvation was not Moshe, was not angels. It was God Himself who saved us. Val yedei v'lo al yedei shliach, and it wasn't through a messenger. Even though vayaminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe avdo, but it was it's clear Moshe's name is not really referenced in the Haggadah, and he's certainly not referenced as the one who took us out of Mitzrayim in the Haggadah. If anything, the opposite. Anivalo Malach, Anivalo Saraf, Anivalo Ashliach, which we pointed out, this farm says, Rashi Tevos Moshe. You got it? Anivalo Malach, Anivalo Saraf, Anivalo Hashliach. Mem Shin Hei, Malach, Saraf, Hashliach, Moshe, Rashi Tevos Moshe. So don't think it's Moshe. If you say Moshe is a Malach, it wasn't a Malach. If you say Moshe is a Saraf, it wasn't a Saraf. If you say it was a Shliach, Moshe wasn't a Shliach. It was Hashem Himself. Now, how does Hashem take us out? So let's learn an amazingly deep idea. Ki kiviyachol haya hisgalus, or gadlus malchuso aleinu. How does the Kodesh Baruch Hu take the Jews out? He comes to that place, b'chvodo uva'atzmo, as we say in the Haggadah, and Hashem is megala his light. Hashem, so to speak, allows himself to come out of his tzimtzum somewhat, and he allows his light to shine. V'hamitrim lo hayu cholin lisbol zeha orish in Israel. And a Rasha, the Emes Rasha, by that light, it's interesting. We start really the formal mitzvos of Pesach with the Bedikas Chametz by that Or HaNer. And as the Gemara says, it makes a drasha. Right? It says Ner here and it says Ner there. Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. That light represents a Kodesh Baruch Hu coming to search, and Hashem with his flashlight, so to speak, says this is a Jew and this is a non-Jew. Even though superficially, as we've said many times, halalo of Devarah Zarah, halalo of Devarah Zarah, they look the same. So when a Kodesh Baruch Hu is megala his light, a Jew is healed by that light. A non-Jew is burnt by that light. Right? A Rasha is burnt by that light. It's the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Gimel. That at the end of days, the nations of the world say to Hashem, give us a mitzvah. And what mitzvah does Hashem give them? An easy mitzvah, what does He give them?
Sukkah.
and they go to the rooftops and they build their sukkah, and Hashem makes it very hot. Hashem's megala a lot of ore. Sukkot is a time of geula. The haftorahs of sukkahs are very mashiachtic. And then they get all upset. They can't handle they can't take the heat, can't take the light. So when Hashem is megala his ore, right? The mitzvim lo hayucholin lisbol zeha ore shenis rabbi. The Egyptians couldn't handle that light. I have to pause here and share with you Rav Pinchas Koritzer in the Imre Pinchas in Parshas Bo. He says that by the Makkah of Choshech, you know the Lashon of the Pasuk, it was darkness for the Egyptians. U'lechol b'nei Yisrael hayor b'moshevosam. And the Jews had tremendous light in their place. So Rav Pinchas Koritzer and other tzaddikim developed this idea also. It's a separate shir. My brother has a lot of thoughts on this. David has some insights on this. that what was the Choshech of the Egyptians and what was the Or of the Jews? Right? It was a blinding light. Imagine, a person is looking at, you look at the sun, you go blind. So there could be a light that creates a choshech. So for the person who can absorb it, it's a light. For a person who can't handle it, it's choshech. Says Rav Pinchas Koritzer, and the Imre Pinchas Parshas Bo, he quotes the Aruch Chaim Mekadosh, Oso Or Hayim Me'or Haganus. That light that the Jews were basking in was the light of the Or Haganus. Ubir Huzal, and Rav Pinchas Koritzer explained, Sho'oso Ha'or Mamish Hechshech LeMitzrayim. That the light, which for the Jewish people was so enriching and healing, for the Egyptians was blinding. Al derech mashin is bar makom acher. As Rav Pinchas Koritzer used to say very interesting things. Rav Pinchas Koritzer, I think they say he met the Baal Shem Tov twice. He's early. He's very early in terms of Hasidus. Wasn't really a direct Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov, but they consider him one of the early Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. Maybe two, maybe three times he met the Baal Shem Tov. It's actually a good story. They exchanged three things the Baal Shem Tov said he learned from Rav Pinchas Koritzer, and vice versa. So Rav Pinchas Koritzer used to say a lot of interesting things, a lot of interesting pshatim on the world. In this sefer, in the Medrash Pinchas, it's filled with fascinating and strange. He used to darshan up the world a lot. So he said on a different occasion, he writes here, and there my Pinchas, it's broad. It says that the Rav once said, Rav Pinchas Koritzer once said, "Be'inyan shahor misame ene haklipos, she'in yacholim lisbol rov haor." The klipa can't handle too much light of kedusha, right? And it becomes blinding for them. It makes them blind. Kikol ha-tameyim ro'am b'layla, shuhumi sitru the Gehenna. Tameh creatures, again, a wonder of the Bria, tameh creatures have the ability to see at night. A bat, for example, in a ro'a klal b'yom. So the bat only sees at night. The bat's able to see in the dark. It can't see in the light. Ki b'yom hu or mi sitru the Gan Eden. Because the darkness of night is the darkness of Gehenna, and the light of the day is Gan Eden. And he says that's what it means also in Parshas Peshalach when the Egyptians and the Jews are having their standoff by the Amsuf. It says that the Malach, the pillar, the light, the fire, went behind the Jews to separate between the Jews and the Egyptians. Vayehi ha'anan va'choshech vayya'ir es halayla. It was an anan, it was choshech, but it illuminated the night. Says Rav Pinchas Koritzer, ki akol davar echad. She'oso or mamish she'heir li Yisrael. The same light which could give clarity to a Jew, to the person who's tamei and not able to receive it, hechshech lemitzrim or lemitzrayim, shelo yachlu lisbol v'nistamo, and they became blinded by it. They became darkened by it. Okay, so knowing this idea, that again the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh hints to, and that Rav Pinchas Koritzer develops, we have a better understanding what the Kedushas Levi said. That when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to take us out of Mitzrayim, he was megala his or to such a degree that the tzaddikim, Klal Yisrael, who were be'emes tzaddikim, ma'amei chulam tzaddikim, could be sovel the or, and be healed by the or. And that same light became paralyzing, literally paralyzing, as the Egyptians were frozen in the dark, from that light. Okay. Now this next part's a little tricky. Let's try to understand it together. Uparo shahaya omer mi Hashem asher eshma b'kolo. Mi Hashem, who is this Hashem that you speak of? Asher eshma b'kolo. Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, is Hashem's most essential name. We learned last Sunday that there's many other names that we give to Hashem, because that's the Rebbe said, but the essence of Hashem's name is Vayedaber Elokim al Moshe, Vayomer Elav, Ani Hashem. That's who I am. Anochi Hashem Alokach. Hashem is his basic name. So Paro said, who is this Hashem? I never heard of Hashem. I've heard of maybe Elokim. I've heard of a God who operates within nature. But Hashem, a God who is beyond the natural order, a God who could overturn the natural order, which is what Hashem Dafka proves in Mitzrayim, never heard of him. Mi Hashem asher eshma b'kolo. What does he mean, Mi Hashem? So he develops an idea. It's a very Kabbalistic idea. V'hayalo achiza ba'osios mi me'elokim. Kemosha Kosav v'Kavanos. In the Pri'etz Chaim, in his Narizal's writings for Pesach, the Arizal says that Paro had an achiza, that means he had a grasp, of the letters Mem and Yud from the name Elokim. Right? Elokim, Aleph and Lamed, Hey, and Yud and Mem. Those last two letters, Yud and Mem, when Paro says, Mi Hashem, Asher Ashma Bekolo, he's saying, Hashem, I don't know, but me, I've heard, he had some achiza, whatever that means for a Rosh to have an achiza. He had some grasp, or some perception in his mind of an understanding of the last two letters of the Shem Elokim. And that gave him a certain kalach. Again, he took a certain grasp, a certain understanding of Hashem, of Elokim, the last two letters of Elokim, and it gave power a certain illumination, which protected him, which gave him kochos, which allowed him to become the leader of the civilized world at the time. Tremendously powerful figure. So he had a grasp on it. So what did Hashem do? How did Hashem take away his grasp of me, of Mem Yud, or Yud Mem? Ma osa Hashem Yisparach, shehifich osios mi liyam, v'tavo bayam. Hashem took the me, the Mem and the Yud, that Paro thought he understood, turned it into a yam, the Yam Suf, which would be the downfall of Paro. Meaning that the thing that Paro was holding on to, that grasp he had on Hashem, which he was using in a way of tumah, was taken out of his hands and would end up destroying him. Now look at these next couple of words. Kamo adam sheyesh lo secha lishtos me'akos. Like a person who knows how to drink properly out of a cup. Shosa kederech olaret. So he drinks like a normal person. Umi shein lo secha v'hu gargaran. But a person who's gluttonous and a person who doesn't have common sense, right? And he also wants to drink from the cup. Umahapich akos v'vasachas. He turns over the cup in one shot. Like Esav says, Haliteini nam and ha'adom adom azeh, pour the soup down my throat. Kind of crazy way is that to eat? Take a spoon and eat like a mensch. You know, the tzaddikim, when they eat, they don't even lower themselves to their food. The tzaddikim are very particular about that. They bring the food to them. You don't sit hunched over the bowl of soup. And Esav says, but mamish, pour it straight down my throat. So a Rasha, who also says, I also want to take a drink. Kishalokeach lepiv nishbach al kol gufa metanif atzva. He's such a fool. The Rasha lifts it to his lips and he pours it out all over his body and makes a big mess. So Paro thought, I also can hold on to a Kodesh Baruch. I can get a grasp on Hashem. Kach Paro b'zeh ha'davar ba'atzmo shahayah lo achiza. The same thing that Paro thought he could control, he could grasp, that became his downfall. Why is this such an important line? I'm emphasizing this is an important line because it's the Gemara in Yoma. The Gemara in Yoma says that Torah, if I were to ask you, is Torah a good thing or a bad thing? It's good. That's not the correct answer. Torah's not good. Torah's good. Torah's good. Ein tov ele Torah. Mishnah Pirkei Avos, the Gemara in Brachos Daf Hey. What do you mean Torah's not good? It's the ultimate good. Ein tov ele Torah. Is Torah good? No. To say yes is not the correct answer. The Gemara in Yoma says Torah could be a sam hachayim, or Torah could be a sam hamisa. Torah could be poison. A misuse of Torah would be much worse than a person who had no Torah at all. So Paro, who thought he had an achiza in the Shem Elokim, whatever exactly that means, that he grabbed on in some way to the last two letters of Hashem's name, Hashem says, the same thing that you thought you could use to empower yourself, if it's a perversion of a connection to Hashem, it destroys you. The thing that could have been a source of true life, clinging to Hashem, can be overturned to destroy a person. That's what he writes here. Kach Paro b'zeh ha'davar ba'atma shahayi lo achiza, the very thing that Paro was clutching to, that in that very thing he drowned. Shenes hapich mem yud liyam. Right? Mi Hashem asher eshma b'paro. Hashem asher eshma b'kolo. Who is this Hashem? Right? Mi Hashem. Me, I understand. So Hashem says, you don't understand me, and I'm going to turn me into a yam. Well, Yisrael, but for the Jewish people, that same me, that same mem and yud, again, it's very deep ideas here. I'm just trying to say the words. But for the Jewish people, that me, that mem and yud, which is gematria 50, turned into what? When Paro was drowned and we took, so to speak, the yud and the mem, or the mem and the yud, we turned it into the 50 days from Pesach ad Atzeres, from Pesach to Shavuos, shiyakablu haTorah, v'kiblu ha'ara minun shari bina. And we got the Torah, which of course contains within it 50 levels of understanding, and Klai Yisrael got a taste of all of them, and they stood at Har Sinai. V'kach haya makas b'chores Mitzrayim shenizgal Hashem Yisbarach liYisrael b'zeh ha'ar gedola b'nagpu Mitzrayim. So too, when it came to makas b'choros, the same thing that was destroying the Egyptians was illuminating the lives of the Jewish people. L'mashal. Now look at this. This is a beautiful. This next two paragraphs, okay, what we just thought was pretty abstract, pretty esoteric. These next two paragraphs are beautiful. Sometimes a person thinks that the way to deal with a problem is to become so focused on the problem. And the Radicher is going to teach us a way to deal with the problem without getting overwhelmed by the problem itself. How do I circumvent the problem and really deal with the problem without becoming obsessive with the problem? Look what he says. L'mashal. Adam aholich b'derech. Person's walking on the road. U'munach eza davar b'derech ha'moneo esov alicha. U'munach. And it's placed on the road something in his way. That's a moneo. That's a blockage. That's preventing him from moving forward. No, what are the options? Mashlich zeh ha'davar. So he picks it up and he throws it aside. Get out of my way. I'm walking here. Or if it's something that is able to be trampled, oshem ha'maych oso b'regel. He tramples it with his foot. He steps on it. It doesn't stop him from walking. He's walking down the street and there's a brown paper bag in his way. He just steps on it. Tramples right over it. V'im adam gadol holech la'eza makom. Now what happens if a more important person is traveling on that particular path? Who goes ahead of him? Holcha mishar sim mikodim lefanov. If the king is traveling, so he sends an important person is traveling, a dignitary is traveling, so they block off the roads and they clear the path and they make sure, right, that there's a clear road for the dignitary to travel upon. Although more so if it's not just a nobleman, a dignitary, a statesman, but it's the king himself. And all the more so, umikol shekein, melech malchei amlachim akadosh baruch hu. When Hashem wants to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim, Hashem just comes charging through. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tramples everything in its way. When Klal Yisrael, Chazal say in the Medrash, when Klal Yisrael were traveling through the Midbar, Hashem made it always flat. Smooth terrain. No mountains, no hills, no valleys. Hashem could level everything. So when Hashem wants to take us out of Mitzrayim, nothing's going to block Hashem from getting to us. When the king is coming through, the road is clear. Actually, there's a Mishnah in Masechet Sanhedrin. I'm just realizing now. The Mishnah in Sanhedrin says, "Derech Hamelech Ein Lo Shir," which means that if the king, Pashup Shah means if the king wants to, if a king of flesh and blood wants to make a highway through your backyard, the king's allowed to do that. Derech Hamelech, the pathway of the king, Ein Lo Shir. He can make it as whatever he has to pay you for it. He can't just steal your property. But the king is authorized by Torah law. If he feels that his army needs to travel on this path and happens to cut through your backyard, the king's allowed to do that. So you see, even in halacha, this notion that a king has the ability to just make a path where other people would feel it's too hard for me to, I want permission to go there, I don't know how to go there. The melech just charges through. And any Egyptian that got in the way of a Jew, between Hashem and Klal Yisrael, Hashem just leveled them. Hashem crushed them. Hashem literally dissolved them. And in that way, Makas Bechoros, when Hashem bechvodo v'atmo came to Mitzrayim, he just plowed right through. V'zeh she'amar zevach pesach la'Hashem, shehu bechvodo haya pasach al-batei b'nei Yisrael b'Mitzrayim, b'nagfo es Mitzrayim, lashon yisnagfu ragleichem. The word nun gimel pei could mean to afflict, to strike, to punish. It could also mean to crush or to trample, as it appears in Sefer Yirmiyah and Perek Yud Gimel. Yisnagfu raglechem, your feet trampled, your feet crushed. So b'nagpoes Mitzrayim means Hashem was able to skip over the Jewish homes and completely level and completely trample the Egyptians. Shenismachu mikavach zesha shiyeh haderech panoi lefanav yisbar. Hashem says, I'm coming through. And therefore the road has to be cleared. Uva mameila negifa lemitzrayim. Vespatenu hitzil. And Hashem was able to plow right through the Egyptians who were in the way to come straight to us. Kizek kol hisgalus shemo yizbar. Now, Chevra, what's the takeaway for us? Look at this. Nimsa hashoresh haba mizeh. She'ein atem tzorach liros, rak lahamshich al atzmo hayira shal Hashem yizbar, v'amshachas kol hatov shal atzmo. If you feel that there's something blocking you from Hashem, you know what you need to do? Don't spend so much time being focused on the blockage. If you can properly attach yourself to Hashem, if you can invite Hashem over, so Hashem will just plow right through that thing and get it out of the way. If you attach yourself to Hashem and Hashem wants to attach Himself back to you, whatever's in the middle is never going to be is never going to be insurmountable. You understand? Look at the words. You don't need to ask Hashem, please destroy, get rid of those things that are blocking me. Just say, Hashem, I want to jump into your arms. And if Hashem comes running towards you, everything in the way is going to just be flattened. You don't have to be obsessed with the blockage. Don't get hung up on the blockage. Attach yourself to Hashem as much as humanly possible. And when Hashem comes to you, nothing's going to be in the way. And as the light of Hashem shines upon you, that light will completely what? Will completely obliterate, dissolve, and drown out any of that negativity. Because as Hashem shines His love upon you, and His kindness upon you, any mania, any klipa, any mitzri in the way is simply going to be overwhelmed by it to the point that he's going to be destroyed by it. So instead of focusing on this blockage, just try to tap into the light of Hashem, and as that light shines upon you, for you it'll be healing, for the Egyptian it'll be what? Binag poes mitzrayim. Like again, like the pasuk in Yirmiyah. Yisnagfu raglechem. Trampled by your feet. Okay? It's a nice Torah. Okay, the next piece is very beautiful also. Halel HaGadol. Halel HaGadol. What is Halel HaGadol? What is Halel HaGadol? When I use the phrase Halel HaGadol, what am I talking about? So you'll say, when you say the whole Halel, it's supposed to Chatzi Halel. No. Halel HaGadol is a term that we give to not the Haggadah, to a parak of Tehillim, Kuf Lamed Vav. 26 phrases, each one ending, say it every Shabbos morning, Ki, Li'olam Chasda. That's called Halel HaGadol. In the Mishnayos and Psachim, for those who want to come back at 11:30 for the last year of the Zman, we're going to talk about the secret of the fifth cup. One of my favorite shiurim. It's an oldie but a goodie. Yeah, and we're going to talk about, right? What do you do? On the first cup, you make Kiddush. The second cup, you say at the end of Magid. Third cup is benching. Fourth cup, what does it say? What does Chazal say in Psachim? The fourth cup, right? Gomer Malavas HaHalel. You finish the Halel, and you say Halel HaGadol on the fifth cup. That's part of the, at the end, when we say Ki Li'olam Chasdo, Nishmas Kol Chai, Shtabach, right? All the things that we add at the end of the Seder. So Halel HaGadol, the reason this is in his Pesach Torah is because we say, on the Seder night, we say that paragraph, Ki Li'olam Chasdo. V'nira Levarer, so says the Berditcher, let's explain this Indian called Halel HaGadol. You go through Halel HaGadol, some things seem to be missing. Things that make it into the Dayenu don't make it into Halel HaGadol. Lo nizkar nisinas HaShabbos. There's no mention of giving us the gift called Shabbos. Matan Torah. Yiridas Haman. Eretz Yisrael. All the things that we say Dayenu, 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 for some reason, in Halel HaGadol, we talk about other types of salvation in history. Ki Li'olam Chasdo. What about God? You gave us the Torah, Ki Li'olam Chasdo. You fed us the man, Ki Li'olam Chasdo. You took us to Eretz Yisrael, Ki Li'olam Chasdo. Why no mention of these things? So the Berditcher says a beautiful, beautiful Torah here to help us appreciate the things that are hard to appreciate. V'nira b'siyata d'shmai. The osam ha-tovos sh'nira la'in kol, shuhu tovos ha-nitzchios. Those things, those kindnesses that Hashem does to you, which are so obviously good, lo hutzrich b'hal ha-gadol l'haskir ki li'olam chasdo. Hashem, you gave us the Torah, Ki Li'olam Chasdo. Why don't we write that? Because it's obvious. David HaMelech didn't need to write, you gave us the Torah, Ki Li'olam Chasdo. Of course, God gave human beings His wisdom. Gave us His Torah. I need to say it, Ki'ilu, it's a Chiddush. It's a Chiddush, Ki Li'olam Chasdo. Of course it's a Ki Li'olam Chasdo. Hashem, you took us to Eretz Yisrael. Of course, Ki Li'olam Chasdo. What does Halel HaGadol emphasize? Halel HaGadol emphasizes those kindnesses that don't seem to be Ki Li'olam Chasdo. Tehillim Kuf Lamed Vav. Tehillim chapter Kuf Lamed Vav, where we say, phrase Ki Li'olam Chasdo, phrase Ki Li'olam Chasdo, 26 phrases, that's called Halel HaGadol. Chazal referred to that as Halel HaGadol. Okay, it's just the name of that parak of Tehillim, Kuf Lamed Vav. So what is the point of that parak? So again, to mention those things which are obvious is not a chiddush. To say that you gave us the Torah and that's an eternal kindness, of course it is. We can see that every human being, every person can recognize that very easily. What about those tovos? And you'll see how beautifully this fits in with what we learned yesterday in the Moadim B'Chasidus. What about those kindnesses that don't seem to last forever? That's where we need to remind ourselves, Ki Li'olam Chasdo, where it's hard to see. Amnam tovos yitzias Mitzrayim. How about leaving Mitzrayim? That we do say ki yolam chastom. Shayu cholim lomar shelo hayu tovos nitzchios. You could have said about yitzias Mitzrayim that didn't last forever. After all, darei acher kach gam kein anachnu begalus. Yeah, we're still in galus. We don't have all the answers yet. Satmar Rebbe writes in his Agadah Shel Pesach, manish tana alayla zemikol alaylos. What's the answer to that question? Avadim ayinu. What? So he says, right, avadim ayinu, we're still avadim. Hashat ha'achal l'shon ha'baba arad Yisrael. We don't have all the answers. You're asking questions and we're giving you bad answers because we don't have all the answers yet. So we're still in galus. So what's the key li olam chasto? We said yesterday, the idea of cheiris olam. We say in the Maariv, in the Emunah Kol Zos, we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out to Cheiris Olam, eternal freedom. What eternal freedom? We're still in Galus. V'chein b'kriyas yamsuf, shenitbu ha-mitzrim, v'arei anu m'shubadim l'umos ha-olam ha-cheirim. What was so great about Yitzias Mitzrayim? What was so great about Kriyas Yamsuf? Where's the key li'olam chasto in that? Aren't we once again slaves to other nations? We're living in Galus. There's no Beis HaMikdash. So it's dafka by those things where you could argue, nah, this was just a very temporary Yeshua. Remind yourself that you're wrong. Spiritually, those moments in history were eternal. I don't need to say Kili Olam Chasto for the things that I know are eternal. That I still have the Torah throughout all the generations. That's obvious. I don't need to say Kili Olam Chasto over that. Lezeh hiskir osam lahazir sha'al tomarkin. Therefore, we dafka mentioned, you took us out of Mitzrayim Kili Olam Chasto. You took us through the Yamsuf of Kili Olam Chasto. We emphasize those things where a person could say otherwise. V'amar aleihem kili olam chasto, shehu chesed olam. This is olam. This is eternal. Ki to'elas hanimshach miyetzias Mitzrayim mikriyas yamsuf. Because that achievement called yetzias Mitzrayim and kriyas yamsuf, that which we earned and gained from it, that we should recognize ki hu habore rav v'shalit b'alyonam v'tachtonim b'yamu v'yasho, that we should see Hashem as master over sea and dry land. Mizeh yiras Hashem. That they would come to what? To stand before God in awe? Kvo sh'amar ha'kasuv, v'yaminu b'Hashem v'Moshe avdo, right? V'yiru, they feared Hashem. They had awe of Hashem. Zehu chesed olam. That lasts forever. No matter where a Jew finds himself in the world, or at any point in world history, he can close his eyes, think about Yitzias Mitzrayim, think about Kriyas Yamsuv, and say, wow, kili olam chasto. I still have awe and fear and love of Hashem, even though I haven't had a conversation with him in a long time. Even though I haven't seen him in my life in a revealed way like they saw when they left Mitzrayim. To remind ourselves that those things which look like they're temporary, if God did it for you, it's permanent. You have to understand how it's permanent. You have to have a deep perspective. V'chein, lemolich amo bamidbar. Ki li'olam chasdo. You took us through the desert forever. Ki li'olam chasdo. What's ki li'olam chasdo? Da'kavana shahayibona chashim v'akravim v'yitzilim. There were snakes and scorpions, and Hashem, you saved us in the Midbar. Shelo tomar shu chesed shah. Don't say that was a temporary measure. His kiru lomar kili olam chasto. That was a chesed olam. It was an eternal kindness. In what sense? B'to eles hanimshach shemizeh yiras Hashem b'rosam ki kol asher ba'aretz oseh dvaro. How does what happened in the Midbar last forever? The answer is, because when you saw Hashem fighting off the enemies of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, protecting you from the snakes and scorpions, surrounding you by those clouds, you'll say, oh, that was only one short period in Jewish history. No. If you reflect on that, ki le'olam chasto. Forever, I have a new appreciation for Hashem. Going into Eretz Yisrael, that you don't need to mention. How about milchama Sichon va'og? V'nisinas artsam. Defeating Sichon and Og, which was really just a stepping stone to get to Eretz Yisrael. Sichon and Og were the blockage on the way to Eretz Yisrael. They blocked the doorway to Eretz Yisrael. Shalot tomar shu chesed shah, says the Redditcher, God forbid to think that was a temporary moment in Jewish history. You just need to get past that to get to Eretz Yisrael. That's where it's really good. No. Kevan de Eretz Sichon va'og ein bo kedush Eretz Yisrael. You could say, it doesn't have the kedush of Eretz Yisrael. This is not a chesed forever. And therefore, hizkir va'amar ki lo kenu. Again, we say that's not true. Rakshu gam kein chesed olam. Va'amar ki li olam chasto. What do we learn? What do we take away from Sichon and Og? Seemingly a smaller battle in terms of the bigger picture. Mito eles hanimshach. What did we learn from that? What emerged from there? Shirosh shabiyara bore barachu lahamis aklipos. That Hashem can get a Jew to where he needs to be, to defeat our enemies. He paraphrases the pasuk here from Iyov. V'yachin rasha v'tzadik yilbash. Actually, the pasuk says, Yachin v'tzadik yilbash. But he's giving us a parish. Yachin, who prepares? The rasha. V'tzadik yilbash. The Rasha prepares the garment, and the Tzaddik is the one who reaps the benefits. Haman builds a gallows for Mordechai, and Haman's the one, of course, who ends up dead in place of Mordechai. Right? Where it says, Heichin lo, lo heichin. He prepared it for him, Mordechai, lo heichin. For himself it was prepared. So the Rasha who thinks that he's in charge, Hashem reminds us he's not in charge. So that lesson of the defeat of Sichon and Og is an eternal lesson. Ba'an chilam es artzam. U'mizeh gil hem yiras Hashem. And that yiras Hashem, that awareness of God, is ki li olam chasto. I can take that with me forever. Masha ein kein nesinas Shabbos. But when it comes to things like Shabbos, I don't need to mention lo etzrich lahazkir shu chesed olam. Shakol yodim shu chesed olam. Everyone knows that Shabbos is forever. Shakol yodim shu chesed olam. K'maymer chazal shuhu me'ein olam haba. I don't need to convince a Jew that Shabbos is gevaldik. V'chein gam kein nesinas haTorah. I don't need to say ki li olam chasto. Ki akol yodim ze. K'maymer anche kines tagadola. V'chaye olam nata besocheinu. V'chein nesinas Eretz Yisrael. Everyone knows that getting an Eretz Yisrael is a chesed l'olam. She Eretz Asher Hashem Dorish Satam. It's the land that God can't take his eyes off of. V'chein binyan beis hamikdash. I don't need to say ki li olam chasto on that. Why? Because lo zaza shechina mikotel ma'aravi. I still know that even though there's no beis hamikdash today, but I still feel that there's a kotel. There's a kotel ma'aravi where a Jew feels the shechina, hashuras hashechina. V'hashuras hashechina be'eretz atachto and hakol yodim shu chesed olam. V'chein nesinas haman. And the fact that we ate the man in the midbar. Everyone knows what a chesed that was. Lo nitna Torah el lo'ochle aman. That's not a chiddush. V'atam k'mavur b'zohar kadosh. Shal yedei aman shahayim mimakum gavoa zachu la'sagas haTorah. By eating the man, it cleansed their bodies to such a degree. Chazal say you didn't even use the restroom when a person ate the man. It was fully absorbed in one's bodies. It's the food of the angels. It's physical. It's gashmias expression of ziv hashchina. You're eating, whatever that means, you're eating shchina. I don't know what that even means. So the man, of course, was a tremendous chesed. And it transformed us forever, making us fit to receive the Torah, which we have forever. No one can take away the Torah from us. So therefore, the obvious chasadim in history, we don't need to say ki li olam chasta. We know it's ki li olam chasta. A Jew has to reflect on the less obvious chasadim that a Kodesh Baruch Hu has done for me. I'll give you an example from my life. One example. And it's important at the Seder, when you're saying this, to think about it. Ki li olam chasto. What are the things in my life that really changed my life forever that I consider to be a minor moment in my life? I remember when I was teaching in TABC, I had the following thought one day walking home from school. We had one child at the time, our oldest Gabriella, and she was playing in the bathroom one morning, and she took my wife's contacts and washed them down the drain. My wife doesn't have very good vision. She has pretty expensive contacts. It was going to cost us several $100s to replace them. And, in 2 seconds, down the drain. And I was thinking oh, come on, Rabbono Shel, what was that for? I have a Avera, so I guess that's what that's for. But I had a tie, and I was annoyed. It's just a hock to get there, and it literally cost us several $100s. I was walking home from TABC that day. We lived in the apartment, so I used to just walk back and forth. It was very close to the school. And I remember as I was crossing the street, nothing happened. A car just drove by. And for some reason, Hashem put this thought in my head, what if I was supposed to get hit by a car that day? It wasn't a close call or anything. It's just it entered my mind, what if I was supposed to get hit by a car that day? And maybe because I davened the good ma'ariv last night, Hashem said, you know what, I'm willing to downgrade. From a broken leg, getting hit by a car, and spending, 6 weeks in the hospital, and thousands of dollars of hospital bills, Hashem said, you know what? For your Averus, you really deserve something, a bigger patch. But I'm going to downgrade it. It's going to cost you a couple $100s. But if I complain and I say, Rabbono Sholem, I have tainas against you. So Hashem says, why did I change the plan? I tried to help you out by just destroying a couple contact lenses. That was my rachmanis. I could have done much, you deserve much worse. And I Hashem said, I overturned the plan in order to make it better for you. But you're going to complain about that. So then for next time, I'm not going to help you out. Next time, I'll let what the original plan was to God forbid, unfold. Sometimes when Hashem punishes us, it's Hashem doing a chesed for us. Right? We deserve much worse. And Hashem's only giving you a flat tire on the highway instead of, God forbid, getting into a car accident. So I think it's important for a person to reflect. And again, that was a life-changing perspective for me that day when I realized that. And when a person goes through a difficulty, to be able to say, again, I'm using the negative version of this, but to be able to say, ki li olam chasto, right? Something could have happened which would have really changed my life forever, God forbid. And it didn't happen. So Kili Olam Chasta, to reflect, or something small that did happen, right? Something good that happened to you. And you think like it's a minor thing. You know, I chose to go to a particular yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael instead of another one. And they were both good yeshivas, and I had friends in both, and I probably would have had a good experience in both. But you don't know, maybe, I don't know, maybe something you experienced being in that particular yeshiva, that small decision that you made, Kili Olam Chasta, changed the course of your life forever. Maybe one person you met, one Rebbe you met, one this, one shir that you heard. You know, it sounds extreme, but to reflect on that as being Kili Olam Chasta. Of course, I know the big things in my life, Kili Olam Chasta. Wow, Hashem, I got married to my Ishas Chayil, Kili Olam Chasta. You blessed me with a child, Kili Olam Chasta. Those things are obvious. But to try to reflect on the less obvious Kili Olam Chastos, to see how the minor things of our life are not so minor, is a very special thing. Okay? The next piece is a little bit long. I'm not going to read it inside. I want to just read the opening question and just point one thing out to you. Really more from the Shem Yishmuel. The Avnei Nezer, then the Kedusha Slevi. He discusses here the question, Masha Maksha Tosfos, Tosfos and Psachim, and Arve Psachim raises the question, Lama Ein Mavarchin B'motze Yom Tov Al B'Sam. Why don't we make the bracha B'Sam on Motze Yom Tov like we make on Motze Shabbos? Right, we get in a Shami Yisera on Yom Tov just like on Shabbos. So why don't we make the bracha on the B'Samim as our Neshama Yisera leaves us after Yom Tov? It's a very long piece here. I'm not going to read the whole thing inside right now. But I wanted to share with you one answer to this question, which is just kedai to know. Very kedai to know. The Shem Yishmuel, whose picture is on the wall there, on the left-hand side. Such a beautiful hadras upon him. The Shem Yishmuel in Shavuos, in his writings on Shavuos, from the year Tav Resh Pei Aleph, he says an answer from the Ramban, and he explains the answer based on something he heard from his father, the Avnei Nezer, Rebbe of Sakachev. He says, "Hinei yaduim divrei haRamban she'ein sarach lebesamim b'motzei yom tov, k'mo b'motzei Shabbos." Why do we not smell the besamim by Avdala of motzei yom tov like on motzei Shabbos? Mishum deruach yisera sheYisrael zochin b'yom tov, einena mistalekes mehem b'motzei yom tov, k'mo shemistalekes haneshama yisera b'motzei Shabbos. Shemitam zeh mavarchan al besamim. Why do we smell besamim on motzei Shabbos? Because the neshama yisera that we're given each Shabbos leaves us. It departs. That added burst of Kedusha that we're given for Shabbos is no longer present. On Yom Tov we get what he refers to, the Ramban refers to as a Ruach Yisera. The Madregos of soul, Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, we get a Ruach Yisera. The Ramban says you don't smell the Besamim on Motzei Yom Tov because the Ruach Yisera never leaves a person. That's what the Ramban states. Says the Avnei Nezer, the father of the Shem Yishmuel, why? What is it about Yom Tov that makes it categorically different that the Ruach Yisera is able to stick? The Neshama Yisera runs away after Shabbos. Vay of the Nefesh. We need the Besamim to appease us. Right? The soul benefits from smell, the Gemara says. Kol ha-Neshama tahal ka-aluka. When you smell something, the Neshama enjoys it. So why do we... So we have to appease the Neshama on Motzei Shabbos. Motzei Yom Tov says the Ramban, your Ruach Yisera doesn't leave. Why? Explains the Avnei Nezer, father of the Shem Yishmuel. My father explained to me, Tam shino yom tov mishabbos. Why is yom tov different than Shabbos? Mishum de Shabbos kviyav akayim of ein bo tfisas yad adam. Because Shabbos, you didn't make Shabbos. Mikadesh Shabbos. Hashem makes Shabbos. Shabbos is referred to in Chazal as kviyav akayim. Shabbos happens on its own. Hashem made Shabbos. Right? Shabbos vayinafash. Hashem rested on Shabbos. Al kain. So therefore, on Motzei Shabbos, the neshama there was given to us alone as a gift, but after Shabbos, Hashem takes it back. Says the Avnei Nezer, who makes Yom Tov? I'm talking about who does the cooking, right? Who declares Yom Tov? Who gives Yom Tov the Kedusha? What do we say on Yom Tov? Mekadesh Yisrael Vazman. Yisrael is the one who's Mekadesh the Zman. Aval b'Yom Tov, the Beidina Mekadshin Lei, where the Beis Din declares the Chodesh and the Yom Tov, v'yesh bo tfisas yad ha'adam, and it wasn't given to you as a gift, but it's something that you earned. When a person earns something, it lasts. He doesn't lose the Ruach Yisera that came from his efforts. It's a very chashuv yisod to think about over Yom Tov. That the things that we work hard on last, and the things that were just given to us with ease, don't typically last. You find people who earn money and make a lot of money have a better chance of holding on to that money than a person who wins the lottery. How many lottery winners are bankrupt and depressed, and studies, the suicide rates, there's crazy studies about people who won millions and millions and millions of dollars. Right? The average human being, not everyone, obviously, but the average human being comes into something as, you know, it's just given to him. He doesn't know what to do with it. There's no place to file it. So Shabbos, which is a gift, Hashem takes it back. Yom Tov, what you earned, you worked hard, yagati umatzasi, tami. Yeah.
I saw yesterday, I thought it was very
what's there? Yeah.
Even when the it ends, it doesn't really end.
They say that. Where did I literally just saw that. I did not see that there. Oh, no, I saw something else.
So, he says that because really, even at the end, you're not leaving.
Right. Beautiful. Chasal, Seder, Pesach, is Rosh Hashanah, Pesach. That even when Pesach is over, it's not over. That's why the Baal Tanya was that didn't say it. He didn't say Chasal, Seder, Pesach. There is no end to Pesach. Right? And if there's any Yom Tov where Jews put in the effort, it's Pesach. So certainly the efforts of Pesach remain after Pesach. Okay, let's go to the next piece. What are we holding on the clock here? Okay. Baruch Hu, Shakarish Baruch Hu, Chishev Esakets, Lassos, Kamash, and Amar. See it? Baruch Hamakom Baruch Hu. Thank you, Hashem. One of the things we thank Hashem for was Hashem was Chishev Esakets. Hashem, what? Considered the end. He considered the Geula. He made a cheshbon of the redemption. He calculated the redemption. What does that mean, Hashem calculated the redemption? I mean, we know we got out after 210 years instead of 400 years. Well, by what way was Hashem counting? Rav Chanan Wasserman used to say on this line in the Haggadah, Rav Chanan Wasserman, the student of the Chofetz Chaim, Rav Chanan Wasserman said, Hashem considered the Kates, doesn't mean Hashem considered the redemption, which we call the Kates, the end, right? But the way Rav Chanan Wasserman translated this line, Hashem considered the Kates means the extremes. Hashem took in consideration the extremes. What does that mean? That means not only did a Jew pay off his, you know, Golus in Mitzrayim by working for the Egyptians, but if a Jew caught a cold, or if a Jew stubbed his toe, or if a Jew got into a fight with his wife and there was a lack of shalom bias and he was feeling down, all those things were also calculated. Here? Chishev Esakets, Hashem considered the extremes. Hashem considered every bit of Jewish suffering. Yeah? If a Jew, you know, had a stomach ache, Hashem says, okay, that's also counting that towards the cheshbon. Hashem considered the extreme possibilities of what was considered suffering at the hands of the Egyptians. Anything that a Jew went through in Mitzrayim was calculated. That fits well, that idea from Rav Chanan Wasserman fits well with what the Berditchever says here. Hina Isa B'Medrash, the Medrash says in the Yalkut Shimoni, Sha'asar Shal Mitzrayim Ta, that as the Jews were ready to leave Egypt, the ministering angel of the Egyptians in heavens had a taina. Lama lo hayu begalas Mitzrayim kasher nigzar aleihem. How did they get out 190 years earlier? Uve'emas nechzar kates shan. Kates. Kates doesn't just mean gula, redemption. Kates was the number of years they got out early. Kates is gematria, 190. They got out 190 years early. What's going on here? Why only 210 years of slavery? Why not 400? Vateiritzu, shakarish baruch hu, hodia, hagalas lavos. Who heard about the galas? Avram heard about the galas. And Yitzhak heard about the galas. And Yaakov heard about the galas. And you know how much it pained them to hear about the galas? How much emotional tsar did Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov go through knowing what would happen to their children? And Hashem took that into consideration. 210 years of working, 190 years of what? Of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov feeling bad for us. Shekarish Baruch Hu Hodiya Galas La'avos Va'avos Hayilam Tsar Migalas B'neim V'nechshav HaTsar Shala'avos Ligalas Al Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu considered the emotional pain of the Avos towards the 400 years. And that's what it means, Chishev Esakets. Hashem considered their pain. There's a beautiful idea that some of the Bali Musar bring, the concept and the phrase that we use, Nose Ba'olim Chavero. What does it mean to be Nose Ba'olim Chavero? Right? It means to carry the burden with your friend. How do we use that phrase? When someone's going through a tough time, try to feel their pain. But the way that Tzaddikim explained this, you actually are Nose Ba'ol Im Chavero. When you feel the emotional pain for another Jew, that removes some of their pain. The Gemara says, when you go to perform Bikur Cholim, you take away some of their illness. How do you do that? By taking it upon yourself. If one person has to carry a 100-pound bag, it's much easier if two people carry it together. So when you feel the pain for another person, you're literally Nose Ba'ol Im Chavero. You're literally carrying the other person. You're saying, how can I help you? There's nothing I can do to help you. You know how you can help me? You can feel bad for me. How many beautiful stories have we heard about Rav Moshe Feinstein or Shlomo Zalman Orbach, who sat with couples who were going through difficulties, and they literally just sat there and cried. And people left and they said, we felt so much better. The tzaddik cried for us. He said, I can't do anything for you other than cry. I can't help you. But I can cry. I can cry with you. And that's also part of the Yeshua. So Chishev as a Kates, we say in the Haggadah, Kadosh Baruch Hu considered the Kates. Hashem didn't only consider, like Rabbi Chanan Wasserman said, every bit of Jewish, every type of suffering in Mitzrayim. But Hashem went to the real extremes. Hashem took into consideration any bit of pain that anyone who knew about the Gullis was going through. That Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov felt, oy, what's going to be with our children? That wiped out almost half of the Gullis. What an amazing thing. To think that a person could again, by emotionally joining with someone, be able to remove so much of their suffering.
So, yeah. Can you say that's kind of like kapara because of the fact that when something bad happens to you, you're emotionally connected to the
For sure. Thing. For sure. I think that's exactly what it is. Yeah. Okay, the next piece, we saw this question when we learned that beautiful passage from the Imre Emes. When the Imre Emes quoted this question, Anivah lo malach. What do you mean Anivah lo malach? Kedushas Levi asked the question, what do you mean Anivah lo malach? The Pasuk says in Bamidbar, Parachaf, that Hashem took us out with a malach. And the Imre Emes said his answer is hard to understand. Yeah, it's a little hard to understand. So we're going to skip this piece and move on. You should just know this is the piece that the Imre Emes was referring to. Okay, I want to do the next one. Kama Milos Tovos Lamakum Aleinu. This is classic Berditchever Torah. Right? Dayenu this, Dayenu that. It would have been enough if you did this. It would have been enough if you did that. Hashem, but you did all these things for us. Wow. Kama Milos Tovos. How many good things did the Makum do for us? Wow. Kadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch HaMakum, Baruch Hu. You're so good to us, Hashem. So says the Berditchever in classic Berditchever fashion. No. It's not how you read it. How good it is for you, Hashem, that you did good things for us. What a pleasure we gave you by allowing you to give us all these great things. L'chora havile l'meimar, mi makom aleinu. It should have said, kama milos tovos, mi makom aleinu. All the good levels that we attained, milos means levels, all the levels we attained from Hashem upon us. V'od mazem milos. What does milos mean? Why not say, matanos? These are the gifts you gave us. We need to recognize that Hashem gets tremendous pleasure from being able to bless us and bestow upon us good things. Hashem glorifies Himself by what? By being able to give His children presents. How good it is, limakum. How good it is for you, Hashem, for the makum, baruch hamakum, for Hashem. Kiviyachol shakadosh baruch hu yesh lo nachas ruach kishemashpia tovas al Yisrael. V'zeh haram is milos. How many milos? What does it mean, milos? Ki hakadosh baruch hu ein sof. Hashem is endless. What are levels mean in terms of talking about God? Rak la'avas Yisrael, but in Hashem's love for us, Hashem is mitzamtzem Himself. Hashem contracts Himself. Hashem shrinks His full personality and presents Himself as if what? As if there are stages, if there are levels. Hashem allows us to grasp Him in different levels. Again, the truth of the matter is we can't grasp Him at all. Ein od movad. It's totally beyond. He's an or ein sof. But we try to, Hashem lowers Himself and tries to create a system by which we can understand Him. And then Hashem, so to speak, has milos. But Hashem gets those milos from what? From His love for us. Hazeo milos tovos. When Hashem descends within us, and as we grow steps, stages in our life, Hashem is also elevated through that. And it's limakom. It's our gift to Hashem. The gifts that He gives us is our gift to Him. Classic Berditchever Torah. Okay, let's do two more pieces. Let's turn to the section on Shir Hashir. We're under two Torahs on Shir Hashir. Okay, the first Torah on Shir Hashirim. Also, very classic Kedushas Levi style. Shir Hashirim Asher L'Shlomo Yishakeini Minishi Yikos Piyu Kitovim Dodecha Miyayin. You kiss me with the kisses of your lips. Kitovim Dodecha Miyayin. What does that mean? Perish Ha'alshach. El Melech Gadol U'mahulal Kel Melech Gadol U'mahulal B'tish Bachos. We refer to Hashem in our tefillos as we praise Him. You're a Kel who's a Melech Gadol Umehulal batishvachos. You're the one who deserves all the praises in the world. But we have to understand, and what Shir Hashirim has to remind us, and with the whole Seder night, the halal of the Seder night, with its many stages that we say, the beginning halal, at the end of Magid, the end halal, later in the Seder, we have to remind ourselves what a schus it is to be able to praise Hashem. how lucky we should feel, right, that our praises matter. Yeah? Some 5-year-old kid comes over to LeBron James. You're good at basketball. Shkayach. Thank you for that great chiddush. Doesn't give him kavod. A 5-year-old kid thinks he's good at basketball. 5-year-old kid can't even hit a layup. So of course, you know, if one of the greatest players, Michael Jordan, comes over to LeBron James and says, "I hold you good at basketball," it's a chashuv thing. So who cares, lahavdil? Who cares? So we say, Hashem, you're a great God. Shkayach. You deserve a lot of praise. Yeah, I know. Thank you so much. But it was the chiddush. The fact that Hashem wants us to praise Him. Let me take a step back. The fact that Hashem allows us to praise Him and desires our praise, and ke'ilu gets nachas ruach from our praise, as if we're saying something that makes Him feel good, kiviyachol. That's a big chiddush. Ke'el melech gadol emulal betishbachos. Sha'al zeh bilvad shanu zochim. The very fact that we have this chus to be mishabeach shemar gadol. Al zeh yesh lanu lahalel. We should thank Hashem over the opportunity to thank Hashem. We say, many svarim bring this. I don't know who says this svar. I see it in different svarim, but I can't tell you one person who says it. Right? Modim anachnu lach she'atahu Hashem Elokeinu. So the pashup shot is, thank you Hashem, you're our God, and I'm going to thank you. Modim, thank you for a lot of things. But no, before that. Modim anachnu lach she'atahu Hashem Elokeinu. Thank you Hashem for being my God. And for allowing me to have a relationship with you. Yeah? I think it was Rabbi Baruch of Mezhbush who said the same vart in benching. No delecha, Hashem Elokeinu. Right? No delecha over the fact that Hashem Elokeinu, that you are my God. That you care about me, that we have a relationship, that I can talk to you, and it matters to you, that I praise you, and kiviyachol you allow yourself to feel good about it. Do you know how good that makes me feel, to know that I can praise you? What a schus it is. I should sing praises that you're willing to listen to my praises. Again, look at the words inside. Al zeh yesh lanu lahalel. For the fact that you allow me l'shabeach l'shmo gadol, that alone I should sing halal. Shezachinu l'zeh. What is chos? V'zeh mehulal b'tishbachos. Sha'anu mahalim oso yisbarach. We praise Him. We thank Him. Al shezachinu l'shabcha. Thank you for allowing me to thank you. Thank you for allowing me to praise you. That you would even care to listen to me, and that my words mean anything to you is a gevaldik thing. U'ba'avur ha'tishbachos anu mahalim ad kam. That's what the Al-Sheikh explained on Kel Melech Gadol Umulal B'Tishbachos. Al-Sheikh HaKadosh, or Moshe Al-Sheikh, about 500 years ago. So says the Berditchever, that's also the Pshat in Shir HaShirim Asher L'Shlomo. Sha'anu Mishorim Al-Shezachinu L'Shor L'Shmo HaGadol Shir Yedidus. We're singing a song over the ability that we're able to sing a song. Val Osan HaShirim Sha'anu Zochim L'Shor Anu Omrim Shir. Over the songs that we're able to sing, we sing a song that we're able to sing a song to Hashem Yisbarach. Shezachinu l'shor l'shmo agadol. What is chus? V'anu omrim shir al hashirim. Asher l'shlomo. And of course Rashi says that someone texted me the other day. They said, what would be a good commentary to go through Shir HaShirim with? So I texted him back. I said, the ikr is not to go through Shir HaShirim. The ikr is that Shir HaShirim should go through you. I said, and Rashi's also good. So what's the first Rashi on Shir HaShirim? Shir HaShirim Asher L'Shlomo. Shlomo is not Shlomo. Shlomo is who? Hashem. The Melech Shalom Shalom. That's what Rashi says. So Shir HaShirim Asher L'Shlomo. I should sing a song over the fact that I get to sing songs to Shlomo, to the Melech Shalom Shalom. A song over the songs. Here? Shir HaShirim. And that's the feeling a Jew has at the end of the Seder. What a schus to have been given these opportunities. I didn't do Hashem a favor. Like we said, the Medrash in Kohelis the other day. A person puts a mezuzah on his door. Ah, Hashem, look what I did for you. No. I gave you a house. I gave my son a bris milah. I gave you a baby. I put tzitzis on my baguette. I gave you the baguette. Everything we do, it's just we should just be endlessly thanking Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Like we say in Nishmas at the end of the Seder, as we say every Shabbos. Ilu finu male shir kayama. If I could sing forever, I still couldn't say the right words. What is chus to just know that we have such a relationship? And that's being merumis, it's hinted to in the very first words of Shir HaShirim. Shir HaShirim Asher L'Shlomo. I should sing over the ability to be able to sing. Okay, and last but not least, we'll end with one final Torah. Let's do Perek Aleph Pasuk Vav. It's about 5 or 6 pieces later. Al tira'uni yishani shcharchoros. Okay, don't judge me because my skin has become darkened. What's the end of the pasuk? Sheshizafasni hashamesh, because I've been darkened by the sun. I've been out in the sun for too long. Right? Many people are attracted to people who have nice tan skin, but in the olden days, a very fair and pale complexion was seen as more desirable. Right? Which is why many people of darker skin suffered throughout the generations as being second-class citizens to those who had white skin. Doesn't really make sense, but in Shir HaShirim, even it says it. Don't look down upon me, because my skin has become darkened. I've been out in the sun too long. That's a sign of a slave, a worker. A person who is wealthy and a person who's part of the noble class gets to sit indoors all day and preserve their nice white skin. Okay, let's see. Says the Berditchvar. V'nevar kodem Maimer Chazal, we need to first explain the following Maimer Chazal. Shnayim yardu lemita achas. Two people fall into the same bed. In other words, two people have the same illness. The same bed means they're not literally in the same bed, but that they're sick in the same condition. Ze yarad v'ze lo yarad. Ze nene v'ze lo nene. Ze espal tefila shleima v'ze lo espal tefila shleima. One of them is able to recover and one is not. One is answered, one is not. One davened the complete tefila, one did not. Says the Berditchvar, what happened here? Two people in the same situation. One seems to have emerged, one seems to have not. What's going on? Umila shleima inu muvan. What exactly is this concept of a tefila shleima? What's the concept of tefila shleima? When is it ever enough? We've said enough words. Tefila shleima, they both said the whole Shemoneh Esrei. They both recited the entire Tehillim. Well, in what way was one shalem and one not? Why not call it a tefila tova? One tefila was good, one tefila wasn't as good. What do you mean shleima? What is that concept of a tefila shleima? Amnam yivuar v'hu sh'anu rowin sh'yesh tzadikim sh'polin b'tefilas and masherotzim. There are some tzaddikim who always get their way in prayer, and there are some tzaddikim who almost never get their way in prayer. And it's not what you would think. You would think that the bigger tzaddik is the one who gets his way in prayer. And the one who doesn't have his tefillos answered is the lesser tzaddik, and that's why Hashem doesn't help him. But the Berditchvar says there's also an opposite truth as well. Sometimes the one who doesn't get his tefillos answered is a bigger tzaddik, and here's why and here's how. Ha'inin hukach, shezeh ha-tzadik ha-gadol, kasher ba'al l'chatzar ginas bison ha-melech, malchu shalolam, paraphrasing the phrase in Megillas Esther, when he comes to the courtyard, when he walks into the palace, when he enters the chamber of the king of the world, u'miyashiv atzmo shabalifnei ha-melech, and he processes what it means to be standing before the creator of the world. When the tzadik makes contact with Hashem, you know what happens? He immediately forgets everything that he wanted to ask with regard to Olam Hazeh things. He is just so enthralled to be in the presence of Hashem, he can't speak. You asked him a half hour before, how are you doing financially? My parnassah is really bad. I'm really struggling. Our family doesn't have. So go talk to Hashem. The tzaddik goes before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The bigger the tzaddik he is, the more he I can't talk about parnassah with God. Much bigger things to connect over. So he forgets all of his requests for Inyane Olam Hazeh, for Iske Olam Hazeh. Ve'einu mavakish rakshia davuk tamad ba'melech. And at the end of the day, all he says to the king, as the Berditchvar has in another famous mashal, I don't remember which parsha it's in, maybe it was in Rosh Hashanah. Elliot, you're the baki in the Rosh Hashanah Torah. So is it in Rosh Hashanah? Where he comes before the king and his only request is that I should be allowed to come again? I think it's Rosh Hashanah Torah. But I want to come back. Right? What do you want? You're here. Ask for something. All I want is another chance to come before you. That's what's hinted to in Esther saying to Ahasuerus, come to another party. What do you want? Just come again. Let's get together again. The tzaddik just wants to be in the presence of Hashem. So if you ask the tzaddik, again, when he's not in that moment of dveikus, the tzaddik knows what's going on in the world. He's connected to real world stuff. But in that state of dveikus, there is no olam hazeh. He just wants to cling to Hashem. Kima arev alav. What is pleasing to him? What is... What is sweet and desirable to him? That his greatest desire is just to disappear and to be mevatel himself to Hashem. He doesn't want anything else. He's not looking for anything else. But a lower level tzaddik is still more mekusher to things of this world. Even though the tzaddik is before the king, he's not as impressed by Hashem. because he doesn't understand Hashem as well. When you understand Hashem as well, how did Moshe not eat for 40 days and 40 nights? Because when your mom is in front of a Kaddish Baruch, you just forget. It doesn't register. A lower level tzaddik is still focused on Inyani Olam Hazeh. The higher level tzaddik is able to literally dissolve into Hashem's embrace. And therefore, the higher level tzaddik, when he comes before Kaddish Baruch, he can't remember a thing. So the tzaddik, oh, he's not really such a tzaddik. This other tzaddik's able to get me results. This tzaddik can't get results. He can't get results because he's so close to Hashem. He doesn't know how to talk about things of this world. It doesn't register by him. But the lower level tzaddik who remembers what he wants when he's standing before the king, he's mevakesh meitah bakasho l'chein pavo. On Rosh Hashanah, the Zohar says it's very improper for a person to daven for physical things, for gashmis, especially the first day of Rosh Hashanah. The second day already, it's dina rafia, it's a softer judgment, it's more appropriate, right? But the Zohar is not saying it's inappropriate. Why is it inappropriate? This is my day to talk to Hashem about my whole year. It's inappropriate because if you really understand HaMelech, then what are you asking for a new car? What are you asking for a raise? It's not appropriate. You're in the presence of the king. Just throw yourself into the arms of the king. Again, that will automatically, we learned at the beginning, remove all the menios. Vatzadik harishon. Let's finish up. Vatzadik harishon she'eno zocher bakashaso. Lehevi shef alolam haza. Nikra lo ispal tefila shleima. The tzaddik who doesn't know how to talk about things in this world, his tefillah is what? Is incomplete. She'ein bo shleimus. She'einu mevi es ha-shefa. He can't help. V'achoshev iske olam haba lios over the bore. All he can think about is the world beyond. So he's not, you know, he's not a lower level tzaddik. He's a higher level tzaddik. And we need both types of tzaddikim. And the one who's able to contemplate things of this world and bring down that bracha, that's a complete tefillah. He davens for this world and the next world. And that's what it means. Shneim yardu lemita achas. Zeis palo tefillah shema. Ratzalomer. She tefillaso hu shleimus. One of them is able to daven everything. But the higher level tzaddik is not able to daven a tefillah shleimah. Because he just doesn't want to talk about things of this world. And again, there's something we have to respect about that tzaddik. Not to, oh, he's not able to help. He's such a tzaddik, he's beyond. Again, and Klal Yisrael needs those types of tzaddikim also. He needs tzaddikim who can help us, practically. And he needs tzaddikim who are just totally beyond, who could be a role model for us in that way. So he says in the final paragraph, Vizeo, and that's what the pasuk means, Al tirauni shanish charchores. Do not judge me because I am blackened. What does that mean? Klomar, she'ini po b'tfilasi. Don't call me a failure, says the tzaddik, just because I didn't bring you the bracha that the lower level tzaddik brought you. She'shezafasni hashamesh. Because I was what? I was just like enthralled by the sun. I was basking in the ziv hashchina. What do you want from me? I don't understand what you're going through. You're right, I don't. Because I'm totally beyond. Shal yedei shani roa habihiras ani shachar kan Yisrael. When I'm in the presence, when I'm basking in that light, right? Again, the tzaddik feels almost like that mitzvah we described at the beginning. I'm blinded by the light. I can't do anything else. I feel unworthy in the presence of that light. I'm going to start asking for some more food, for a bigger house. I can't. Be'ez bo'i lefnei adon kol, ani shocheach biske olam hazeh. Umavar yoser. And he says further, as the psukim go on to say in Shir HaShirim, Samuni noteras akaramim. You've appointed me as what? As the watchman over the vineyard. Klomar be'ez bo'i lefanav ani noter krom macherim. When I come before Kadosh Baruch Hu, I get focused on other vineyards. What do you mean other vineyards? Klomar ani mavakish bakasha acheres lios over da borei mashalo chishavti mikodem levakish. I start talking about other vineyards. I start talking about Gan Eden. I came to before the king with a whole list of things that I need for this world. But when I'm in the presence of the king, that list is thrown out. I'm thinking about different vineyards and different orchards. I'm thinking about the Chakol Tapuchin. I'm thinking about Gan Eden. I'm beyond. Klomar ani mevakish bakasha acheres lios oved abore mashalochi shafti mikotem levakish. Amnam karmi shali lo natarti. But I wasn't able to guard my own vineyard. I wasn't able to take care of olam hazeh things. Perish habakasha shali shayisi chafet levakish nishkach vimeni ve'eni zochra levakish meito. And I can't. I'm just not there. Meirov habehiras shani roa oz. The only thing I can talk about is ruchnias when I'm in the presence of Hashem. V'lachin amar, samuni no teras akaramim, darkam hu mora ala kedusha. I'm not sure what he means by that last line. But again, there's a certain feeling that a Jew has at the end of the Seder, right? A certain closeness with Hashem, but it's a closeness of ruchnias. It's not a time at the end of the Seder to start, you know, making requests in gashmias. It's a time to just literally be like this tzaddik who just becomes fully absorbed. As we learned once a piece from Rav Kluger in the, what's the Sefer called? No, what's the other one? The two volume one? Yisrael Bechiri. Rav Kluger talks about not just saying Shir Hashirim, but becoming Shir Hashirim. Becoming Shir Hashirim means dissolving, being mavatli yourself into a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And again, that comes with all the things. It's not that this tzaddik, right, in the end doesn't get the things that he needs. But he becomes so enthralled by the Shemesh. He just becomes absorbed within the embrace of Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Shekeinim and the Shikos Pio that we begin Shir Hashirim with. So Mirtz Hashem, halavai, we should live these Torahs, we should feel these things. We should appreciate the small chesedim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. We should realize what a chesed it is that Hashem allows us to praise Him and how happy it makes Him when we praise Him. And then to really throw ourselves into His embrace. And Mirtz Hashem, never to leave. Be davak to Hashem for the rest of our lives.